there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. In what anyone would call the weirdest day after I can ever recall. Because social media undid three people in completely different genres. Right? Roseanne, bye Felicia. She shot herself in the proverbial foot and ABC cut her show yesterday. Drake, ooh, the level of diss in a new rap was remarkable. Drake had himself a tough day yesterday. And of course, from the sports genre, we have Brian Colangelo, who is accused by The Ringer, that's Bill Simmons' website, who's accused of having not one, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five burner accounts. Five burner accounts. Okay, you have burner accounts. You can follow other people that don't know they're being followed. You can troll other people that don't know they're being trolled. There is a, okay, the problem with the burner accounts is at least one of them appears to have vociferously defended the moves that he's made and called out some of the players that have played for him and played for the Sixers. Some that he's traded away, some that he still employs, like Joel Embiid. It was a bombshell. bombshell that we continue to react to today. Do other people in media, do other people in sports have burner accounts or have fake accounts so they can follow people that they want to follow but not be tracked as following those people? Yes. But the idea of defending yourself, the idea of questioning players that are on your roster or questioning players that used to be on your roster. Here's the thing. Brian Colangelo, son of Jerry Colangelo. Jerry Colangelo, one of the most powerful people in sports. Remember, used to own the Suns, used to own the Diamondbacks as well. Was the head of USA Basketball. Took over the 76ers 3 years ago as they did not trust Sam Hinkie's process. Then he installed his son as president of basketball operations. And, of course, this year they made the playoffs. They have a bunch of cap room setting them up for the potential of the LeBron James sweepstakes. But this is a wow. Now, I don't know who the whistleblower was who anonymously contacted the ringer. But what I do know, what is interesting, and I had this conversation with one of my daughters. So I have twin 12-year-old daughters. And last year for their fifth grade graduation, they were going to middle school. My wife said they need cell phones. I was like, why do they need cell phones? They need cell phones. Okay, but you know, the cell phone, there's a downside to cell phones, social media, and you know, you can't see everything they're texting, everything they're doing, even if you link it so that you're supposed to see everything, they get wise to it and eventually they can cover some stuff up. Well, we have them on the cloud. And one of my twin daughters screenshotted a text message sent by one of my other daughters to one of her friends that included a curse word. My wife goes through like her photos and all the text messages and data like as often as she can to kind of keep up with what's going on. She saw it. And the daughter who typed such a curse word has lost her phone and lost privileges in my house. And then the question becomes like, well, what do I do with the other daughter? Did she actually, because she didn't actually tell my wife, she just screenshotted something within the conversation. And then that happened to be part of it. And my wife saw the screenshot. And so when the daughter who was punished, who cursed in the text, came to me and said, well, what about her? Why isn't she getting in trouble? My point was simply, hey, if there wasn't anything in your text message that shouldn't have been in there, none of this would have mattered. I don't like tattletales, and she wasn't technically a tattletale. But I also will tell you that if there's nothing to tattletale on, what's the big deal? I don't know if it's one of Sam Hinkie's henchmen. I don't know if it's somebody who is loyal or just simply disloyal or doesn't like Brian Colangelo. Whatever the case is, it seems like they got him. And if it is in fact true, and of course he did cop to one of the accounts being used to follow people in the media, but not the other four accounts. If any of the other four accounts are true, he's got to be fired immediately. Right? Because now there's no trust between Joel Embiid. There's no trust between the Ben Simmons. There's no trust between none of it. Commenting on players, commenting on any of the moves, supporting yourself, like all of this stuff. The NBA is about relationships and respect. And guys won't respect that, and it'll ruin relationships. Now, before I completely convict Brian Colangelo, I need to point out, and this is very, very important, it's different than the Sean Miller deal at Arizona. But after the Sean Miller story at Arizona, we haven't heard or read anything from Mark Schlabaugh, and we haven't heard any sort of tape, and Sean Miller has remained as head coach, and not only has he vociferously denied it, but there hasn't been any proof to the contrary. A story that smelled like that felt like it had a smoking gun. Now we don't see any smoke or any gun or anything. So we prematurely convicted Sean Miller. I don't want to prematurely convict Brian Colangelo. Here is the big difference. Digital footprint. Digital footprints are essentially impossible to erase. Essentially impossible to erase. And so we will know. There is an IT guy. There are hundreds. There are thousands of IT guys who are going to get to the bottom of where this, especially one of the accounts, emanated from. And my guess is it was probably Brian Colangelo. But that's a guess. It's not a no. And then we get into the, well, why would you do it? Why would a guy who's already been two-time executive of the year, why would you do that? And do you know what my answer is? You know who some of the cheapest people are in the entire world? Some of the richest people in the entire world. Do you know some of the least confident people are in the entire world? The most successful people in the entire world. Do you know some of the least sincere people are in the entire world? The people who appear to be the most sincere in the entire world. I mean, it's if you're around athletes, if you're around musicians, if you're around actors and actresses, writers, some of the most talented people are the most screwed up. They're constantly searching for validation. They want so desperately to be liked, to be loved, to be told how great they are. Right? Like, even LeBron James is guilty of this. He does this whole, you know, I'm just a kid from Akron. I'm not supposed to be here. Dude, your nickname was the King before you ever play. That you were the chosen one. Now you're the King. You can't get any more self-aggrandizing than having chosen one tattooed on you before you ever play an NBA game. You just can't. And I, you know, why would he do it? Why does anybody do it? Because they want to control the narrative. They want people to say, you know what I read? It's a really good point. People believe anything they read. It's one of the things the Russian bots had figured out for the election. Right? That nobody actually looks. The idea that a troll on Twitter can be taken as seriously as some legit journalist on Twitter is the biggest flaw to Twitter or any social media. People believe anything they read. They just do. You know, my dad used to quote to me the New York Post. And the New York Post is, they'll run fast and loose with some stories. They're a newspaper that leans to the right. But even in sports, they've employed guys that are talented writers, but some of those guys will take some chances, and there's a lot of rumor printing that takes place with the New York Post. The Post feels like they have to separate themselves. They got Page Six, which is a gossip column. They feel like that's the way in which they can separate themselves and survive in New York City, and it's worked for 50 years. But the fact is that has been taken to a greater degree now once you get in social media, where we literally believe anything we read. And so I don't want to believe it, but didn't Kevin Durant have burner accounts? Isn't every denial of a story seemingly just a denial of the truth? Doesn't it seem possible, feasible, almost likely that a guy who doesn't need to defend himself, right? Look, his dad put him in that job. He succeeded at that job, going back to when he was in Toronto. The last thing he needs is any sort of Twitter support, any sort of guy looking out for him on Twitter. But just like the richest guys in the world can be the cheapest guys in the world, some of the most successful people in business can be some of the least confident people in business. And he just wanted to be liked. He just wanted to be respected. He just wanted to win the people's hearts and minds, especially when the 76ers weren't winning games.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ken Rosenthal sat down with Rob Manfred. He talked about pace of play. He talked about expansion. He also talked about baseball analytics. And look, there's a bunch of baseball writers who are starting to get kind of into this discussion, which is that if you watch baseball games, here's the number, 33% of the time, one-third of the time last year, the only people involved in an at-bat were the pitcher, the hitter, and the catcher. That's it. And it's skewing the way of getting even worse this year, or better this year, depending on how you evaluate it, right? And when you read different columns on baseball, they will say, hey, these home run numbers are awesome. Last year, we had more home runs than were ever hit in one season in the history of baseball. Yes, more than the steroid era. And you start to ask yourself, wait, is that the baseball? I'm sure part of it's the baseball. Is that the strength of the hitters? Sure. Is it the pitchers? And I do get this, hey, why are guys throwing so much harder now? They must be on something. I've told you that if you ask baseball guys, take a look at the size of starting pitchers nowadays. Take a look at the size of it. There used to be a thing to which guys that were that big would play first base, would play catcher, would play in the outfield, occasionally would play third base. There was a little bit like Randy Johnson was the exception. Randy Johnson was absolutely the exception. Now, the Joe Kelly is about normal size as a closer for the Red Sox. But look at Chris Sale. You know how big he is? 6'6". Rick Porcello, you know how big he is? 6'5". David Price, you know how big he is? 6'5". I just gave you the top three pitchers. Heck, even Eduardo Rodriguez, who's the fourth best pitcher, he's 6'2". David Pomeranz, who's the fifth starting pitcher in the rotation for the Red Sox, is 6'6". You got one dude below 6'5". You got bigger guys generating more power. That's why they're just power pitching. Yankees, same thing. Monsters. Just monster players. And so we're left with more power in the game. And of course, we're changing the approach to hitters. Hitters don't choke up with two strikes. They don't shorten their swing. They don't try and slap one into right field. No one lays down a bunt anymore. These things don't happen anymore. Instead, the analytics tell you, dude, you're so much better off swinging for the fences. Why have to put together a two-out rally when you can just hit one ball over the fence? There's your rally, bud. And that's how the game works. That's how the game absolutely works. And it's interesting that baseball, I was reading Jason Stark. He also wrote about it. Jason Stark writes for The Athletic, wrote about baseball and how launch angle is only part of it. All of these numbers, all of this analytics for baseball, that it's better to walk, strike out, and hit home runs than it is to just punch one out and put one in play. While scoring might be up and home runs are way up, kind of boring to watch. And it relates to me to the NBA. We go back to our war on analytics yesterday, which I'm not saying it's not better to shoot open threes than to shoot step-in mid-range jump shots. That the math would tell you that certain shots on the floor are better, more valuable, and have a better PPP. But just because something is better, is smarter, doesn't make it as much fun. And you're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Gottlieb. The fun, you've always said the fun is in winning and the fun is in losing. True. True. But there is also an entertainment aspect of it. There's an entertainment aspect of it. And there ain't nothing like a stolen base, a hit and run. You know, there isn't anything like a guy on first, guy on second. You hit a pop, you hit a sack fly to right field, trying to make it to third base. It's interesting. Runners at first and third. Runner tries to steal second. Do you throw him out worrying about the double steal? I know it's more of a little league and pony league type thing, but there are different moves, different movements than if you just line up and try and hit the ball out of the yard or go to the shift and try and play the numbers on a guy. The same is true in basketball. I'm not anti-three-point shot, but just dribbling up and driving off and kicking and shooting a ton of threes, like, that actually is, though it seems like it'd be a lot of fun, it kind of looks like a bad adult league game running line to line. No one going inside the three-point line.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
I saw this story, which I found to be kind of amusing. I did. Apparently, there's this discussion now about whether or not, how we view Steph Curry if he's not the finals MVP, right? Is that accurate? If you don't believe me, here's the second question today. First day of media availability. The second question asked to Steph Curry.
Well, it took to the second question of my first media availability, so I'm pretty sure that narrative's going to take life as it has since 2015, but it doesn't make or break my career or whatever you want to say looking back. If we win this championship and I don't win in finals MVP, I'm going to be smiling just as wide and just as big.
Is the storyline more the people around you?
Not even people close to me. It's just that's kind of the nature of the beast, being on the stage four times in a row. You always got to look for what you don't have. That's fine. That's part of the beast. It's part of my motivation to try to get back to the stage because I want more championships, but I've never really attacked it as if that was the goal per se.
The Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP award has only once been given to a guy whose team did not win it. If you go back and look since the award, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Andre Iguodala won it. Remember the first time that the Golden State Warriors won the title. Kawhi Leonard was the NBA Finals MVP going back 4 years ago. LeBron James won it both years when the Heat won it. When the Mavericks beat LeBron James his first year, Dirk won it. Kobe won it twice in a row. Paul Pierce won it when they beat the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Tony Parker's won it. Dwayne Wade's won it. Chauncey Billups won it. But you'll notice that it's missing from Steph Curry's resume. I continue to believe that the entire way in which we discuss Steph, we discuss KD, is what we should do a 180. Right? Because when you already have a title and you already have your kingdom and you're already happy, inviting in a player who, I think by most people's accounts, has just better physical attributes and an incredible skill set. That shows to me a ridiculous amount of self-confidence plus self-awareness. Like the thing that we should celebrate about Steph Curry is the unwavering self-confidence, but also the remarkable self-awareness. Because so many other people in sports, in life, don't have self-awareness. Steph knew he needed not only help, but he knew that everybody would be better if he could have Kevin Durant, by his estimation, Kevin Durant instead of Harrison Barnes. That was their whole sale was, look at how many open shots Harrison Barnes has. Imagine if that was you. It's a great point. Now, some of the differences, their lineup is different. Defenses have changed. People have adjusted to them. It's harder, a little bit harder for three stars now when Draymond's not hitting shots at all. Iguodala last year in Game 7 got a bunch of dunks. And look, if you even remember back to the NBA Finals in 2016. Or 2000, what, fifth, was it 2015? That they had 2015 NBA Finals. If you even look back on it, what's remarkable about those finals is that it was basically an ensemble cast, right? That's how they ended up. That's how they ended up winning it. The Golden State Warriors won 4-2. LeBron James led all the teams in both teams in scoring 4 of the 5 games. It was one of those. LeBron James should have won the MVP of the NBA Finals in 2015. That was when there was no Kyrie got hurt in game one. LeBron had 44. They lost in overtime. Kevin Love didn't play at all. LeBron had 44, 39, 40, and then 40 and 32 the last two games. Steph Curry, if you will remember, like he didn't win the MVP that year, right? But he should have, if you're going to give it to the team that wins and the best player. Iguodala had a great last couple of games, but that's because they dared him to score. Right? They mugged Steph Curry. He struggled early on. He broke out of it late. He averaged 26 points, 6 rebounds, 5.2 rebounds, and 6.3 assists, and didn't win the MVP. Whereas Iguodala only started 3 games in that deal and averaged 16 points a game, but because he was wide open. So, you know, look, LeBron was ridiculous in that series. 38, 13, 8.8 assists, 1.3 steals. Just crazy numbers. Didn't shoot great from 3, did shoot well from the field, didn't have a good enough supporting cast because of injuries. But I've never heard anybody in basketball. This is one of those fan discussions that's not a real basketball discussion. Well, Steph doesn't have a finals MVP. And? Why does he have to have a finals MVP? He won 2 league MVPs. He's completely changed how we look at draft prospects because of his talents.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get the thoughts of Jason Terry. By the way, that's not the only part of the NBA we want to talk about. Jet, do you have any burner accounts on Twitter you want to come clean about?
No, not at all. I'm so not social media savvy. I only got 1 account. That's it.
Did you read the entire story or you just heard about the story?
Oh, I just heard bits and pieces, man, obviously. I did like the back and forth that Mark Cuban and Daryl Morey had, though. That was entertaining.
In regards to what?
On Twitter, in regards to the burner accounts.
And what'd they say about it?
I don't know, but the hashtag from Cuban at the end when he retweeted him said, "You've been burned." You might want to go take a look at that. It's on Twitter now.
Okay, so when you heard the story, what was your reaction?
Well, first of all, from an organizational standpoint, that's something that you definitely have zero tolerance for. Obviously, if you have anything to say about any of your personnel or staff, that's something you can do personally, one-on-one. I mean, you see these people every day of the week, so you can express your feelings then. That would be the manly thing to do. But again, we don't want to ostracize this guy because nothing has been proven true right now, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, we know his father, good, upstanding gentleman, great business mind. So I think, you know, when it all comes out, you got to believe he wouldn't do that, man. He wouldn't jeopardize his career.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you'd think, like, why would Kevin Durant have burner accounts? But he did.
Right.
Okay. And
you're talking
so,
about
right.
KD, too. He's a player. I mean, a little different, you know, for these players. But, I mean, I don't know. I got 1 account. You know, guys do different things for different reasons. And, you know, me, I'm straight up front and personal. I mean, there's no reason to hide behind it. And it's almost like rap music. These guys with these subliminal lyrics. Just call a guy's name out. You know, I'm a Tupac fan, right directing at you.
Okay, so do you think if they keep Brian Colangelo, and they're like, look, yeah, we got no proof. If they keep Brian Colangelo, this has to hurt his relationships with his current players and hurt the chance of signing free agents, doesn't it?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it happens all the time in your place of work. I mean, there's people that you work with that you don't particularly care for, but at least you know where he stands. I mean, hey, it is what it is. They have to continue to work. But, yes, that relationship has definitely been tarnished, if it is true.
What there's got to be, I mean, is this something that a lot of NBA guys texting each other about?
No, not at all. I mean, this is an isolated situation. I mean, you may see a couple guys post them on social media or something, but nobody really cares. You know, the process and all that. I mean, I play for the Bucks. That was a bitter rival for us.
Jason Terry joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How far away are the Bucks?
Not far at all. I mean, they got a great core nucleus. And hiring Coach Budenholzer, I think, may have been a pretty good decision, because if you've seen the success he had with the talent he had in Atlanta, I mean, hey, that was one of his best jobs ever. I mean, those guys got to the Eastern Conference Finals. He had four All-Stars, and he took those guys to another level. I think he can do the same thing here in Milwaukee. And, you know, the sky's the limit for him. Took Boston to Game 7, so the Eastern Conference is wide open as long as you have the star power. And when you got Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, and Jabari Parker, these are four guys that, you know, are young superstars in our league today.
What happened to Bled? I mean, he seemed to – Rozier was getting the better of him, and then Rozier started chirping at him. What happened to Bledsoe where he struggled so mightily when normally, you know, Rozier's a backup and Bledsoe's kind of like a borderline all-star guy? Why the struggles, in your opinion?
Well, that's why, from a fan perspective, you can never underestimate, you know, a guy's journey in his development and where he's at with his confidence in our league. I mean, if you look at Terry Rozier, yeah, backup. But last year he had the experience. He was in the playoffs last year. Bledsoe's coming from the Phoenix Suns, where he hadn't been to the postseason. He hadn't faced that type of pressure since his younger years with the Clippers. And I think there was an adjustment that had to be made. I mean, and once he got to game 3 or 4, that adjustment happened for him, and he started to gain confidence. So Bledsoe, obviously, we know where he can potentially end up in this league. I mean, he, to me, has the potential, all the potential and skill set to be an all-star at the point guard position. He can score. He changes the game with his ability to get to the basket. And defensively, man, he is a hound. He's all over the place. So, I mean, I like the potential of Eric Bledsoe. I just think it was a rough year for him. First time he's ever been traded. So, mentally, he was not as strong as he will be next season by going through the experience he had this year in the playoffs.
You're a great shooter, but you've always been a big-time shooter, right? Going back from when you're college player of the year to you got in the NBA, you've always had a ton of confidence in your shot. Giannis is
high school, baby. Class of 9'5".
I was same class. I remember when you signed Arizona. I was like, dude, that was back before we never really played against Seattle dudes, and I had never seen you play. And then, of course, you play with my guys at Arizona. Okay, so help me out with this. Giannis is not a natural shooter, right?
No.
He does everything ridiculously. He's so long. He takes up so much space. He can guard so many positions. But in order to take that next step, he's got to find a consistent jump shot. How long, by your estimation, will that take him?
Well, I think this year you will see that progression in his game, because he's a worker. And you already know, as a shooter, the only way you can get better is through repetition. And I've watched him work countless hours of the day and night to get that jump shot better. And now it's all in his head. So when he can do what LeBron did, when guys, you know, for 5 to 6 years backed up off of him, dared him to shoot, and he can now not hesitate, it's going to be a simple game for him. Because you're going to make a missed shot, but you miss 100% of the ones you don't take. And that hesitation that he has when he sees that open space for that basket, I mean, that's the one that throws his rhythm off a little bit. Basketball's a rhythm sport. He is the greatest player we have in our game today at attacking the rim. And, yes, I said it, better than LeBron. I mean, you go look at his points in the paint, it's off the charts of what he does, you know, by attacking the rim. And so adding that jump shot consistently is only going to make his game elevate.
How surprised were you? You know that Rocket system. how surprised were you that they struggled so badly? I don't know if it was with fatigue, but to make a shot in those last two second halves.
Not at all. I mean, it's a product of your environment. I mean, you live and die off isolation basketball. You take tough, contested threes. In our league, again, I mean, everybody talks about analytics and this, that, and other thing. But when you're in a game seven in the NBA Finals, you throw all stats, all analytics out the window. And you got to play smart, and you have to play to win. And to miss 27 consecutive three-point shots in a game is unacceptable if you're talking about being a champion and winning at the highest level. So I don't care what your system is. At some point, you got to make that adjustment. And then to look at how they dominated Golden State in Game 6 and 7 in the first half of both of those ball games, for you to do something other than attack that paint, it just doesn't make any sense to me. You can blame the players. You can say, yeah, Harden hadn't arrived yet. You can say Chris Paul was hurt. But regardless, at the end of the day, it boils down. It comes down to coaching. And I just think he got out-coached in that series.
All right, let's get to this series. Can you see a path to which the Cavs can win the series?
No doubt about it. You got LeBron James, and nobody's ever going to underestimate the playoff run that he's had this season. To me, besides coming back from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals, as a whole, the playoffs he's had this year is bar none the greatest I've seen. Now, I've witnessed Dirk's run he had with us in 2011. Phenomenal. But, I mean, LeBron is doing it in such fashion. And let's just be honest. The guys he has on that team was just constructed. You know, they're decent players in this league. You know, they're NBA players. But for the level that he has them at right now, this is just a tremendous job. And I think for them to be successful, they have to come out and steal game one. That is prime opportunity on the road in any playoff series, especially in the finals, to come away and steal a victory. Because the other team is coming off a series, and they're not used to the style and the pace of play that you play. They're definitely not ready for LeBron because they only see him twice a year now. And so I just got to believe this would be the only chance they have. If they can steal game one, then this series will go about six games.
Totally agree. I totally agree with you, right? Where they're coming off game seven, quick turnaround. Golden State's proven to be beatable at home now. And you don't have Iguodala, who normally, you know, checks LeBron as much as possible. And like, look, as much as they're a bad defensive team, against Golden State right now, you only have to guard three guys. So you're playing 5-on-3 when you're on defense, which gives them a chance. And offensively, you play through LeBron, and he's going to find your open shooters. You're still looking for those same three-point shots, maybe not as high a volume as Houston, but they have quality three-point shooters that can make back-breaking jump shots.
Yeah, and this has been a defining moment also for Coach T. Lou in his career, because he's going to have to devise a game plan offensively that is going to have to help his defense. I mean, you're not going to be able to take quick, bad three-point shots. You're going to have to get your defense set, get back in that transition, and not give up the three-point shot. So whatever that plan is, man, I'm wishing him the best of luck. He's one of my best friends. I gave him a little good luck note before that game seven victory they had, and it worked out. So I'm wishing him the best, man. But I just honestly believe when you have three of the greatest players or shooters that we've ever seen, I know since I've been playing in my era, it's just a tough task to beat. It's just tough, man.
You know,
too many assassins on that team.
You know, it's great that you point that out. Jason Terry, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show. You said three of the greatest shooters. I noticed you didn't say greatest players. And this is one of those things to which it's really hard to convince to discuss with people who aren't basketball guys, which is you're not trying to diminish what Steph does. What Steph does is incredible. But sometimes it the threes and the volume of threes, now quickly, they can hide some of the other stuff things. So there's a discussion out, well, it'll hurt his legacy if he never wins an NBA Finals MVP. And I find it to be... I have my own reaction. What's your reaction when you hear that?
Never. He's a two-time MVP. I mean, there's no debating that. So whether you win MVP in the finals or not, did you win the finals? And that's what I think people fail to realize. I mean, he's already a two-time MVP. I mean, I could care less if he gets MVP or not. He knows his value. He knows his worth and what it takes for them to get wins. And his contribution goes beyond just putting the ball in the hole. I mean, every time he's on the floor, he's a threat. So, I mean, their chances go down dramatically if Steph Curry doesn't come out and have success. You've seen it in the Houston series. The first two games, everybody talked about is he still hurt. He doesn't have to wiggle. And then as soon as he got hot, I mean, the Rockets had no chance.
What was going on with Durant in that series?
Durant fell into the ISO one-on-one game, which he no doubtly is top three in our league in one-on-one basketball. I mean, he's a matchup nightmare. If I'm 7 feet, you're 6'3", and I can look over you and shoot without taking the dribble, I mean, I'm definitely thinking about that option. And you got to remember in that series, Durant kept him in the first three games. He averaged 30-plus points a game. So in a series, you're going to have one or two games where you don't quite perform as well as you would like. But for the most part, I mean, Durant did his job. I mean, it was a great performance, man.
All right, last thing. You retire and you get into this business. You go into coaching. You did some coaching interviews going back 2 years ago. What's your plan for next year?
I set out when I stepped foot in the NBA to play 20 years because a lot of the guys that came before me did, Gary Payton, Jay Kidd, my idols. And so I definitely want to do that. And hopefully somebody will afford me the opportunity this season, preferably back in Milwaukee. But if not, fight for one more championship, man. It's nothing like getting in the postseason and playing and competing at the highest level.
Golden State could use some offense off the bench. That's all I'm saying. Nothing wrong with a little ring chase. Golden State could use some offense off the bench.
Yes, sir.
Jet, thanks so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it.
Man, anytime.
That's Jason Terry joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.